Second hour, Darren Donica Chase here on this gorgeous Thursday morning here in Middle Tennessee. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe with you. Let's head up to Indy. Let's learn a little bit more about what the Colts are thinking a week out from the NFL draft. To help us with all that and more, Bob Kravitz is on the line with us, covers the Colts for The Athletic. Good morning, Bob. How you doing?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing fantastic. Just kind of wanted to get your vibe right now as we sit here a week out from what you think is going on behind the scenes with Chris Ballard and his crew and you know, what's going to be their attack come next Thursday.
Well, I would suspect strongly that they're going to go in one of two directions, either left tackle, where Anthony Costanzo retired. There's been some crazy talk, in my view, of Quentin Nelson, the all-pro guard, moving to left tackle. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that would be absurd, but they don't pay me to make those decisions. So I would say either left tackle or an edge rusher, an Azeez Ojulari, Raylan Phillips, somebody along those lines, Quiddy Pay. They need an edge rusher. They let Nico Autry go. So I think that's a real area of need. I do think he's going to trade back at some point and try to get some additional third rounders. He lost the third rounder in the trade for Carson Wentz. But I would suspect strongly that they're going to go left tackle or edge rusher.
The Colts do pick right before the Titans in the first round, so they are the pick prior. So they are at 21. Titans are at 22. So you brought up Autry here, and what do the Titans have in him? Obviously, there's been a lot of talk here. People are pretty excited about that signing by John Robinson. What did the Titans get?
Yeah, they should be excited. He's a real solid player. Is he a game changer or a guy who's going to demand double teams? No, that's DeForest Buckner here in Indy. But DeNico is a very very solid player. He's a good guy. He's gonna fit well in that locker room. I was frankly surprised that the Colts let him leave. But everything with the Colts is, you know, let's see what the market will bear, and if the price is too high, we'll let him walk. And they decided to let him walk. And I think that Tennessee did real well in getting to Nico Autry.
Were you surprised, or did you expect T.Y. Hilton back in the mix?
I was surprised. I thought this was one of those situations where they put their heart in front of their head. Granted, he didn't have a great quarterback with Brissett 2 years ago. Last year, they had a better quarterback in Phillip Rivers, but there seems to be this magical thinking going on that suddenly at the age of 32, he's going to have some kind of renaissance. And frankly, I don't see it. I do think they're going to have a better quarterback yet again in Carson Wentz if he's able to get his act together. But I don't know. It's $6 to $8 million. It's their money. But, boy, I think I would have gone in a different direction than T.Y. Hilton. I was a little bit surprised, yes.
Interesting. Bob, Jonathan Taylor really emerged in the second half of the season last year. Marlon Mack went down at the beginning of the year, out for the season. Were you surprised along those same lines? Were you surprised that they decided to bring back Mack?
Yeah, I'm 0-2. I thought that, but here's the deal. I mean, there's really no market for Marlon. I think they realized they could get him for a fairly good price. And I think the Colts have, one of the best, if not the best, running back groups going, with Mack and I'm having a brain fart. Their third back. They're in good shape.
Oh, Hines? Are you talking about Hines?
Yeah, Nyheim Hines. Thank you very much. I think they've got three really good backs who can change the game, and even their fourth guy is good. So I think they're going to be able to run the ball really, really well, and that's something that that's something that Wentz did not have in Philadelphia.
Well, you're right about that. Hines and I think Jordan Wilkins was the other one you're talking about. Those guys have given the Titans fits over the years where you weren't expecting it to be those guys. So with that being said, what are they expecting? I mean, Marlon Mack was a very productive back, and yet they drafted Taylor, which I'm sure angered him. He got hurt. He's been out of the mix for a year. Is he supposed to be back 100% ready to go for this upcoming season? And what is his – what's a realistic level of production from him moving forward?
Well, I mean, he's going to be the number two back, and I would expect that Naheem would be more of a third down back, or when they decide they're going to pass the ball, I would think Naheem would be the guy. But, you know, I could see him a couple hundred yards being kind of a back. I mean, you think about the great Jaguar teams when they had Maurice Jones-Drew and Fred Taylor. You know, not great, but very good teams that gave the Colts fits. I don't think in today's NFL you go with that, you know, except for the gentleman you have in Tennessee. You don't see teams often go with a bell cow back who's going to carry the ball 25, 30, 35 times. You've got a bit of a unicorn there in Tennessee.
You mentioned, the retirement of Costanzo. So is it absolutely they're going to replace – that replacement comes in the draft, and that's what you're expecting after he just retired after 10 seasons?
That's what I fully expect. Now, if they go ahead, we're talking to Chris Ballard tomorrow, so maybe he'll drop some hints, but probably not. But if they do not go with a left tackle high in the draft on the 29th or the 30th, I would fully expect that they're going to try and move Quentin Nelson over to left tackle.
Hmm.
And to me, that doesn't make sense. For, you know, if you got a guy who plays a position – and he is, you know, maybe the greatest guard since John Hanna, for crying out loud. I just don't think you move him. I think you let him, you know, spread his wings and let him become the player, the Hall of Fame player that we all think he's going to be. And don't take a chance. You know, go get yourself Darisaw. There are a number of left tackles out there. So I would be surprised if they didn't go with Christian Darisaw from Virginia Tech in the first round, maybe a Liam Eikenberg.
We're talking to Bob Kravitz of The Athletic in Indianapolis, covers the Colts for them. You brought up T.Y. Hilton and his return earlier, but do you feel that Michael Pittman, as he continues to develop, can he become a number one for this team, or do you think that that's going to be to somebody else later on in time?
No, I think Pittman could be a number one, but I still have issues with their receiving core. I'm not sold on T.Y. Obviously, I've mentioned why. They've got Paris Campbell coming back. He's got great speed and shiftiness, but he's been hurt the last 2 years. He's played very sparingly because of injuries. You know, Zach Pascal's a nice number two, number three guy. But at this point, yeah, I do think that's going to be an area of need. And they still need a tight end who can make plays down the field. They don't have that right now. Jack Doyle is a really nice player, and he's kind of a, you know, do-it-all guy. But he won't get you those deep passes down the middle seam. Like they had with Dallas Clark back in the day. So they've got a lot of work to do on their receiving core.
Yeah, and, you know, this draft is pretty deep for receivers, so you definitely think that that's going to be a direction they go, whether it's, you know, second round, or you mentioned they don't have a third round pick, but day two, day three, somewhere in there?
Yeah, I think day two or day three, they'll be looking for a tight end, more of a pass-catching tight end. The guys they got now are really good blockers. Doyle and Mo Alie-Cox, but they definitely need somebody who can make plays down the field, and I think they're going to find that guy, or they're going to try and find that guy in the draft on day two or day three.
I have said, Bob, that the key to Wentz is reuniting with Frank Reich, because they had so much success together in Philadelphia. But what What is Marcus Brady going to bring? I know he's been promoted to the offensive coordinator. He's been the quarterback's coach. He's had success with the quarterbacks. What is he going to bring to the table to help Wentz get back to where he once was?
Well, I mean, if you talk to Colts people, and of course they're going to say this, but Brady is very highly regarded. They think he's one of the really sharp young minds in the league. And, you know, it's tough to lose Nick Sirianni, but I think Marcus Brady has shown through his time as, you know, with the Colts and elsewhere that he's got the right stuff. And I think he's going to help Carson Wentz immensely. But you're right. I mean, ultimately, it comes down to the relationship between Wentz and Frank Reich.
With Brady, he was a CFL quarterback, correct?
He was.
So what has that been like of that background of bringing, I think he worked with Trestman at one time, but bringing some of that and you know, what we see in the CFL into the NFL?
Well, one thing we're going to see a lot more of, and you know, I'm not an expert on CFL football, but pass run option type stuff, which is not stuff you can do with Philip Rivers, because Philip can't run, he's no threat. But I think we're going to see a lot more of that, and I think that's something that Marcus Brady will help bring to the Indianapolis Colts.
Talking to Bob Kravitz from The Athletic, and Bob, I got to tell you, I really enjoyed your article in The Athletic about Peyton Manning. We, of course, down here, we know how people feel about Peyton Manning, but some of the inside stuff, and I really got a chuckle. I've gotten a chance to meet Jeffrey Gorman a couple of times through his cousin, Steve Gorman, who lives in Nashville, the famous drummer, right, for the Black Crowes. But, you know, Jeffrey is hysterical, right? He's one of the funniest guys that you'll ever meet. But he and Peyton Manning's duels back and forth as pranksters. Peyton Manning kind of an underrated prankster in your mind?
He's not underrated. He's highly rated.
Highly rated. I see. So not stealth at all.
Yeah, he's a highly rated prankster. My favorite was, I wrote the story about a month ago. He played golf with a guy. It might have been Jacob Tammy. And say, hey, you know, put on some sunscreen. Turned out it was icy hot.
Wow.
You know, and he's already got a couple of holes on Peyton, and Peyton rolls out the icy hot, and the guy's face is burning off while he's trying to
So I would absolutely invite people to read this if you want to get another lens into maybe some things you didn't know about Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I would retract that. I don't think he's underrated.
Yeah, underrated is the wrong word, yes. And as you read this article, it becomes more apparent, for sure. People are on the lookout. And that's probably the mark of a great prankster, right? As you know, he's a prankster, and he still gets you.
Well, he still gets you, and because he's Peyton Manning, he gets away with it. As Gorman said, he, you know, between him and the offensive lineman, they were like a crime family, but they never got to the crime boss. It was never always above the fray because you couldn't touch him because he was Peyton.
Let me hit you with one a little bit out of left field. But we, you know, here, you love college basketball. We've talked a lot about Indiana and what's it going to take for them to get back to what we're used to as we grew up, what Indiana was. So give us your thoughts on Mike Woodson. I know you've written about it and you have an opinion on that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he wouldn't have been my first, second, or third choice probably, but my first, second, and third choices weren't available. I certainly would have taken a look at Scott Drew at Baylor. You know, so I think the jury is still out a little bit on Mike Woodson, but the first couple of weeks or the first month has been very, very, it's been a really good month. Very uplifting. They've brought in some really good players in the transfer portal. I like the people that Woodson has surrounded himself with. He's clearly a guy his ego is not one where he says, look, you know, I've been in the NBA, I don't need any help. No, he needs help. He's never been a college coach. He's never navigated the NCAA waters, and I think it's good that he's got Thad Matta and Dane Fife and Kenya Hunter and people like that. So the first month or so has been very very uplifting for Indiana. Now, is it going to make a huge difference? I don't know. I mean, these three guys that they brought in the transfer portal all played for losing teams. So, you know, are they going to suddenly turn this thing around? I mean, we're going to find out just how good a coach and how good of a coaching staff they have in Indiana.
And finally, I thought it's a good perspective. I didn't realize this. I was just looking down your Twitter feed. But give people perspective on the Indy 500. Of course, it's such a massive, epic
right.
thing. And they've got to decide, you know, what are they doing with fans? You know, here we've just seen the Predators go up to 33%. You can feel a difference just going from 25 to 33%. So what is the Indy 500 going to do?
Yeah, they announced it yesterday. I watched their press conference. They're going to go to 40%, which is a 40% capacity, which is about 135,000 people, which sounds like an extraordinary number of people until you realize that place holds about 350,000 people. And so they're going to be able yeah. to socially distance everybody. Masks will be required. You know, they've done a lot with both testing and vaccinating at the Indy 500. You can drive in there and get your Johnson & Johnson back when we had a Johnson & Johnson shot. It's not exactly what they wanted, but it's a start, and I think once again, Indianapolis is in the vanguard of the slow but steady reopening of sports in our country. We saw it with March Madness, where they allowed about 20% capacity, and now we're going to see a kind of the next level of that with the Indy 500.
I saw where Kevin Mawai is now an assistant offensive line coach. We're happy for him. He's a good dude.
Yeah.
We got to know him when he was here. In fact, we just had Herm Edwards on the show yesterday. Of course, he was out there on Herm Edwards' staff at Arizona State, too. So good job by him. I don't know if you've had a chance to be around him much, but he's a great guy.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to it. He seems like a real fine man.
Yeah, no doubt. Bob, we always appreciate the visit. Thanks for doing this. And we're 1 week out from the draft. We'll see how it all goes down.
All right, sounds good. Thank you, guys.
All right, that is Bob Kravitz, covers the Colts and a lot of things for The Athletic there in Indianapolis. We'll come back more on the other side, but first, I think we've got a word here from Willie about Lee Company.
Indeed we do, Darren. Lee Company, of course, I'm happy to talk about all the time because they're a great sponsor of our station, of the Nashville Predators. They've done great work in our home for a number of years now. And so Lee Company, we've used a lot of their services, but the main one we like to talk about because I think it's just a great practical way to be on top of things, preventive maintenance, save money over the long term, just good principles to live by, is their home maintenance plan, where they give you the annual checkups of your four key systems that keep your home operating: plumbing, electric, heating, and cooling. And of course, it's going to start getting warmer here. I know it's a little chilly today. You might have been running the heater last night if you weren't. You probably had the blankets out. I know I had the heat cranking. So this is that time of year. You might run the heat one day and the air conditioner the next day. So you got to make sure these things are working properly. But if you have the home maintenance plan, you can feel confident that it's been checked because it's going to get checked every year. And if a repair does need to be made, you get discounts on those. It all is part of the home maintenance plan from Lee Company. Here's how you get in touch. 615-567-1000 or leecompany.com. That's 615-567-1000. 1000 or LeeCompany.com online. Lee Company, let their decades of expertise go to work for you.
Be sure to tune in every single day for your chance to win, listen up, $1,000. Yes, it's the game's 1K payday. Listen for the keyword at 9 o'clock in the morning on Robbie and Rex Road, noon on our show, and 3 p.m. Stillman and Company. When you hear it, go to thegamenashville.com and enter the keyword for a shot at $1,000. Back here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase.
A lot of pennies.
That is a lot of pennies for sure. Willie, you said you brought up the Manning prank to Bob Kravitz. Good conversation with him. Yeah, I mean, Peyton Manning, all the stuff he's been doing post-retirement, he really is. And we know he's done SNL and he's done this stuff before, so it's not like it's the first time we've seen him off the football field and, you know, kind of a acting situation or, you know, all the stuff he's – those little things that he does with ESPN, they're hilarious when they show – I haven't been able to go and check them all out, but when the ones I have, I mean, he really is
the
witty.
Peyton's Places?
Yes. Well, how do you – like, if you wanted to go watch all of those, how would you do that?
ESPN Plus.
So this is all on ESPN Plus?
Yep.
Okay. Because every once in a while they'll show it on ESPN, and that's really how I have not gone to ESPN Plus and checked it out.
Do you have a ESPN Plus subscription?
I think we did, and I think we bagged it for now.
Because a lot of time, like, I get mine through my cell phone because it's just a part – it was a part of the package. And so I get that subscription. It's the Disney Plus, Hulu, ESPN Plus. And it's awesome because you can read articles, the exclusive articles, and then watch that stuff. All the 30 for 30s are on demand. It's awesome.
Well, I'll tell you what the trap that probably a lot of people have fallen into, including us, that you have to be careful. It's easy just to keep adding stuff, right? Like, if you already have a cable provider, and you're like, oh, Maddox wants Netflix, so let's get Netflix. Okay, great. That's great. Oh, ESPN Plus, sure, add on ESPN Plus. Oh, let's get this, and I'll add that on. And the next thing you know, you're like, have you really sat down and looked at what you're paying per month for all these services? Like, you would never pay that to just your cable provider,
but
right?
You justify, you're like, oh, it's only an extra $12 a month.
Yeah. Right. And then
well, that's why I'm saying you have to be careful.
12 plus 15 plus 18 plus 20, you know,
right.
That starts adding up.
$4.99 here, yeah. $7.99 there, $9.99 there, and the next thing you know, you know, if you got one bill from your cable provider, you would go nuts. Right, if you saw that price. But so I try to watch that because I know it's real easy just to keep adding services. And then, you know, I sit back and I go, how much are we really using these services? Because, you know, it's easy to go, well, it's just $4.99. Well, yeah, but if you're not using it, then, you know, what's the point? I mean, you're just wasting money. So we've kind of cut back because we got into when everything was kind of shut down, like we got into a habit. We were just like adding stuff. Left or right, there's nothing on, so you know you spend more family time, you watch stuff together, and then, you know, when everything resumed back, it's like I've realized once we've, you know, our schedule is what it is, you know, we're not ever watching that stuff. So okay, I figured it was on ESPN Plus. The ones I've seen, he's really good. He really is. He's funny.
Yeah, and they show it too. You know, they'll show it sometimes on ESPN.
Right, and that's the ones I've seen.
Well,
but
this
I was
is
curious
the story.
Where they were all the time. So ESPN Plus, that makes sense.
So the story on The Athletic, written by Bob Kravitz, is just a lot of appreciation for Peyton Manning in light of the Hall of Fame and all that stuff. But Jeffrey Gorman, I got a kick out of this part of it because this is the prankster part. Because Jeffrey Gorman is a prankster. He's a funny guy. I got a chance. Steve Gorman would tell me stories about him. And then, of course, he and Jeffrey did a lot of radio in this area, of course, nationally. For a long time. So he's a character, right? So he's the kind of guy you can see trying to match wits with Peyton Manning if you've ever met him before. So at training camp, Jeffrey Gorman, who is like a special assistant, he's listed as his official title is media specialist, but, you know, tight with the ownership, had an interesting role with the Colts for a long time. And so he has a golf cart at the training camp up at Indiana State, right? And so one day he comes in and he says, you know, he's talking about the crime family. You heard Bob saying Peyton is the head of the crime family. All the offensive linemen are there to carry out the prank, right? So you can never 100% catch Peyton in the act, but he's got his people. So one day he gets to the camp and he can't find the golf cart. He goes to the cafeteria. He can't find it. He goes over to the football ops building. Where the heck is the golf cart? And the secretary then pointed out the window, and it was on a raft in the middle of a pond floating, just in the middle of the thing. And he says, that's 18. Manning. So he gets – then he makes the mistake, and this is what he says with the whole crime family thing. You can't get to him, right? If you get mad, it only gets worse. That's the worst thing about pranksters, right? That's what, if you retaliate, then the next one he does is going to be even worse. So he goes to Manning. He says, I know it was you. You're going to get yours. That was a mistake. And so later in the same camp, Manning came by Gorman's room. They just chatted up. He didn't realize that Peyton had unlocked the back door of his little place. And the next day, his car was gone. And he was like, oh, no. My car has been stolen. He calls campus security. Where is it? I'm looking around. I can't find the keys. The campus people say, we found your car. It's okay. Don't worry about it. And Jeffrey Gorman says in the article, I'm like, so where is it? Is it okay? They're telling me we can't talk about it. We're heading out to practice. And I'm thinking, what is going on? We go out there, and there's my car sitting on the 50-yard line of the practice field, completely, completely covered in Saran wrap.
Oh, no.
And so he got so mad, but then he realized, you know what? I can't escalate this. And he said he went to the owner, and the owner was like, you can't do anything about it. There's nothing you can do. He's untouchable. Don't go near him. And he says, wow. I got the message.
Wow.
Can you imagine coming out in your whole car? Now, how do you get into your car when it's covered in Saran wrap?
I guess you need to get a blade and cut it.
It's going to take you a while.
Get a razor.
Wow.
I don't know how else to get in. That's fantastic. And who's helping him do all this?
Apparently all of the rookie offensive linemen would be the soldiers.
Okay.
Right? And so Jeff Saturday and those guys. We'll have to, next time we get Jeff Saturday on, we'll have to get him to talk about the operation. But yeah, apparently all the backup offensive linemen, the rookies, he would get them to carry out the orders. Putting a golf cart on a raft in the middle of a pond? How do you get a...
Well, how do you get a golf cart on a raft?
On a raft. It's got to be a pretty big raft, right?
And then get it out on a pond.
I guess you just send it out there and let it go.
That's too funny.
Did you just in the middle of the night? Or like, what do you do?
Jeff Saturday would be a good one. Did he do this stuff as a player? Or is this just post-playing career?
No, this is while they were playing.
Oh, this is while he was playing?
Oh, yeah. This was a training camp.
Oh, my goodness.
So he said training camp was when it was on.
And so why was Jeffrey the target?
Oh, well, I mean,
Gorman the target?
I think, it's just the personality. I can't remember if he ever came on with us.
He did. I've never been around
him. We had Steve
on.
Did we ever have Jeffrey on?
We did.
Yeah.
Several times.
I mean, he's a funny guy. I mean, he's one of the funniest guys you'll meet. So something tells me his disposition would be a guy that
I think Jeffrey filled
a target.
In when Steve did his show here.
Oh, absolutely.
I think Jeffrey
many
filled
times.
In a few times.
Many
yeah.
times. He was co-hosting for a lot of times.
Yeah. Yeah. So I remember. Remember that. That's hilarious.
Chase, you did a mock draft yesterday during the show. We didn't really get a chance to kind of go over your mock. So I guess they were doing basically an automated draft, and you were making the Titans selections, correct?
Correct, yeah. The only influence I had was what the Titans did.
Okay.
So,
and what were you doing this through?
The Draft Network. It's a cool tool. You can go. Anybody can do it. Anybody can go and make a mock. You just go to the Draft Network and you sign up for it. It's free, and you can go through and make your mock. So I did that, and no surprise, Trevor Lawrence goes number one overall. But they doing it automatically. The Jets took Fields.
Hmm.
So that was interesting. Zach Wilson.
How about the news out on him yesterday? And I do wonder, what does that do for his stock? On one hand, you applaud him for coming, because I had never heard that before. Did anybody ever hear that at Georgia or Ohio State? Or, excuse me, the Ohio State, Chris Anders? He deals with epilepsy?
No.
I know. No. I had never heard that before, and that came out yesterday. And I do wonder, does that affect anything? I don't know.
It says he's never been affected by the condition on the football field and that his symptoms have been less frequent in recent years. Other members of Fields' family have outgrown the condition in their 20s, and doctors believe that could be the case for Fields as well.
So you can outgrow it. That's interesting.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know that much about it, but, yeah, I mean, good for him for being, you know, forthcoming about that.
Wish my dog would outgrow it. That would be
nice. Yeah, I know you've dealt with that.
I'm sure she would love to outgrow it. But so, yeah, that was kind of an interesting news story. Like, I don't know if that has any bearing on anything. Clearly, according to what you're talking about, no. I think, wouldn't we all be surprised if Justin Fields doesn't, I mean, if Zach Wilson doesn't go two to the Jets?
Yeah,
it seems like a foregone conclusion, right?
That's why I was surprised with, even though this is a computer doing it, that because they had Fields to Wilson three, Zach Wilson three to San Francisco, Trey Lance four to Atlanta, Penei Sewell to Cincinnati, which if they
don't. That makes sense.
That makes total sense because you got to get Burrow some protection there. Jamar Chase to Miami, Jalen Waddle to Detroit at seven, Rashawn Slater, the offensive tackle out of Northwestern, to Carolina at eight, Mac Jones, quarterback, ninth overall to Denver, and I'd be fine with this. I did not make this selection. The Dallas Cowboys select tight end Kyle Pitts, 10th overall.
Wow. Aren't there some people that don't think he would get to number 10?
I don't think he gets to 10. I think there's a chance that even though Cincinnati needs offensive line help, that they could take him at five.
There I think
how scary would that be?
Well, it's got to be tempting, but you've got to protect Burroughs. You just do. You can't get him. He was on pace last year to get hit more than any quarterback in his first year. I mean, more than David Carr before his injury. He was getting his clock cleaned on a regular basis. They've got to protect him. He's the franchise. So I know it's got to be tempting with Kyle Pitts, but they have to take an offensive lineman. And if everybody has this guy, you know, Penei Sewell, is everybody pretty much on board that he is the first offensive lineman going?
Yes.
Then you got to take him.
Yeah. I have no doubt in my mind that he's – I mean, I think Cincinnati. That makes the most sense. Like, the first four, if they stay the same, I mean, we know Trevor Lawrence. Somebody just Rusty just said, is there any chance Urban goes Justin Fields? Nope, no chance. I say no chance at all. Trevor Lawrence is going number one overall. But the Jets are going quarterback. The 49ers, I don't know. I mean, I would assume.
Well, they're going quarterback, but it's just a matter of who they have identified to trade up. Yeah. I mean, they gave up a lot.
Yeah, to get into
to that. Get to three. They gave up a lot. So they've identified who they want. It's just it seems to be a mixed bag with who everybody thinks.
Are we convinced that Atlanta goes quarterback? Or could they possibly trade out of that pick and get more?
I could see them trading out.
They could ride
Matt Ryan a little bit longer.
I think they could wait a year if they wanted to.
Or draft Pitts. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, or draft Pitts.
That's tempting.
There's that. But here's the thing. Can you slide down a little bit, you know, a little bit more and get some more draft capital and still get Pitts?
Yeah. I mean,
somebody who wants the quarterback right there.
Right. You know, do you talk to Detroit? Well, I guess they have Goff, but
Detroit's not taking Pitts.
No, but like the teams that you would. So if you're Atlanta, you have Cincy behind you or at five. You know they're not taking a quarterback. Miami's not taking a quarterback. Detroit just made the trade and got Goff, so I don't see them taking a quarterback. Carolina just got theirs. Denver would be the one. If they want to move up, but you know, are they going Lance? Would they rather have Trey Lance? I don't know.
Last year, if I remember, was there a single trade in the first round? Wasn't it no trades at all?
I don't think so.
Last year in the first round,
yeah, wasn't that part of the theme? It was just nobody traded. I wonder if that'll be different.
There are no trades. I didn't do trades on this, by the way.
Yeah, that would be hard to do. I would guess, and something like that.
Trades.
But I wonder if this year we'll see more trades.
Well, don't you think the way it was done remotely that probably affected that, and it's going to be done the same way? So maybe there'll be less trades.
That's a good. That's a really good question.
No, I thought it was in Cleveland.
It's not all remote this year, right? There's more of a.
They just have a representative there, right?
But I mean they've always done that. They've always done that, though. Like the GMs, well, and they've always
now
been.
Now, wait a minute.
There.
Are the draft picks going to be there?
I think so.
Really?
I mean, I've been seeing the ads for it.
Okay.
So
it's weird because you don't see the buildup. I mean, we were so used to, you know, the other places, whether it was, you know, Philadelphia, Chicago, Nashville, right? The buildup to the Dallas. There was such a huge buildup because of the amount of people. Yeah. And honestly, it's not like I haven't been watching. I don't see anything about that. Nothing.
The 2021 NFL Draft will take place across iconic downtown Cleveland locations, including First Energy Stadium, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and the Great Lakes Science Center. The NFL Draft main stage, set against the backdrop of Lake Erie, that'll be the central hub, including where pick announcements will be made by Commissioner Roger Goodell.
Well, that does make sense on why, because I was like, why are they doing this on NFL Network? NFL Network were debating who was the bigger 90s Cleveland sports legend. Care to guess? It was an NBA player and a baseball player. Who were the two names you think they threw out there?
Cleveland sports legends?
Yep. Cleveland sports legends in the 90s.
Mark Price?
A little more 80s, but still had it going in the 90s. He would qualify. But biggest one?
This is according to them. I don't know how they got on this topic, but they were debating these two names.
Like, if you take all the great Indians teams of the 90s, I just think of a group of guys. I don't know if one rises up above all of them, but maybe you guess. Man, because they wheeled and dealed so much. Jim Thome?
Yeah, okay. That's a good guess.
Okay, I will just let you know right now. Yeah. That would have been my guess. I think you could have gone a lot of ways with that 90s Indians team. I would have probably gone Jim Thome. But they had Kenny Lofton.
Kenny Lofton,
Kenny
but he
Lofton.
Was gone. They traded him in 1997, right?
I didn't say I agreed with it. I don't agree with it.
I don't agree with that.
I don't either. And like I said, I don't know how they got to that point. I would have gone with Carlos Baerga, Omar Vizquel.
Manny Ramirez.
Omar Vizquel, actually, would have for
Omar
sure.
Omar Vizquel, yeah.
Albert Bell. I mean, look, whether you know, nobody else liked him, but in Cleveland, they loved him.
Right.
I mean, right? If he was yours,
you loved him. But that was another thing. They let him go. Right,
a lot of these guys.
So we're talking about the whole decade of the 90s. If you're gone by 96 or 97,
yeah,
could you really be the top guy of the whole decade?
Yeah,
I'm not getting that.
And they had Mark Price.
That was Mark Price?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Don't agree with that one either. I mean,
he was great, but I don't.
He was, but it's like, you know, Brad Daugherty. I mean, Nance. I mean, he had a lot. Hot Rod Williams. I mean, he had a lot of guys that were good on those Cavs teams in the 90s. I don't know. I don't know how they came to those two names, but that's where they were debating. So that makes sense. I guess they were doing this and, you know, getting everybody ready for the draft in a week. But, yeah, Mark Price and Kenny Lofton. I was like, I probably would have had different names, but okay.
Yeah. All right.
All right, we'll come back and
I'll give you the Titans picks.
We'll come back and finish up the second hour with your mock draft. We've got a loaded third hour. We're going to speak to a former GM to get the hour started. And also Master P joins us and his son, Hersey, who just committed to TSU. Those are things on tap in the third hour of Darren Dunnick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't forget tomorrow morning, Robbie and Rex Road, 8:45, Preds pick to click. You know what that means on game day. Yeah, there's a game day tomorrow. Predators in Chicago to take on the Blackhawks. Another chance for you to win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. So be listening tomorrow morning, 8:45, where you can get in and you can pick a player to score a goal tomorrow night on Preds Pick to Click. So be listening tomorrow morning at 8:45. Back here on Darren Dunnick and Chase. Looking forward to our conversation coming up at high noon with former general manager Mark Dominic. So we'll get into all that coming up here in about 10 minutes. So back to your mock draft that you conducted yesterday.
Yes.
Chase, you didn't get to your pick at 22 with the Titans. Since we just had Bob Kravitz on, Colts have pick 21. Who did the mock draft take for the Colts at 21?
They went with cornerback Greg Newsom out of Northwestern.
Hmm.
So they went corner, which I found to be surprising.
Okay. Most of the mocks that I've looked at, and I've got Our Lads scouting service here in front of me, they've got Newsom. Most of my ones I've seen have him going just a little bit later, more towards the latter part of the first round. They've got Buffalo. Our Lads has Buffalo, 29, pick 29. Newsom going there. So, but, you know, you look at enough of this stuff, I mean, they're all over the place.
That's what I've seen, too.
More toward the end of the first round?
Yeah, in a lot of mocks. But so what I did at 22 is, you know, I kind of looked at it as need and, you know, the value there, kind of what I felt, you know, worked for the Titans with what they needed. Caleb Farley, Greg Newsom, those corners, J.C. Horn, another one, they had already gone. Horn went 14th overall to Minnesota. Farley went 16th overall to Arizona. And as I mentioned, Newsom went to Indy. So I was kind of identifying corner that wasn't there. I didn't really want to spend the first pick on edge because Jalen Phillips was off the board. And he would kind of have been the one. So I went with best available at a position that I needed. So I went Terrace Marshall Jr., wide receiver out of LSU.
Hmm. Now, Chris Sanders likes him. I know in our conversations when we've talked to him.
And, I mean, as we've, you know, I didn't necessarily love spending a pick there on receiver, but as I said, I felt he was, you know, best available at that position.
I've seen him more in the beginning of the second round in most of the mocks I've looked at.
Yep.
I feel like with the mocks, it seems like most of the mocks I see, there are wide receivers there, right? I've seen several different mocks with several different wide receivers that end up in that spot with the Titans. So,
well, yeah, like
I don't know what to mean. You know, I don't know if you can draw any conclusions from that, but maybe the theory would be there's going to be a wide receiver or two there with a first round grade that if you like them, then maybe that's the one.
Yeah, and Rashad
Bateman.
I don't
know. I mean, we talked about it. Like, can you get that guy in the second or the third round, a guy that could help you there? But don't you think just because the volume of wide receivers, one of them is likely to be there.
Oh, there's no question. Yes. Well, I guess it depends on what you've identified as that top tier that are worthy of going that. I think overall it's a very, very healthy position. And it would also be tempting to wait, kind of like they did with A.J. Brown, right? They waited and got him in the second round. Now, they have pick 53 in the second round. So they're just past the midway point of the second round, you know, does a really good wide receiver. Now, if you remember, last year we talked about all those guys, right? That second crop of guys, Chase Claypool and all those guys, and that there was going to be who's the Hamler that went to Denver and all those guys. And we said there's going to be a run in the second round. And sure enough, they did, if you remember. And it was before the Titans pick. There was a huge run on wide receivers on the second day, just like we talked about. And I suspect it's probably going to be a lot of the same this year.
Yeah.
Where they'll get really aggressive with the wide receiver position again in the second round.
To be honest, when I got to 22, what I wanted to do is trade out. Like, that was kind of where what I was thinking, that I wanted to trade back. Because, you know, if trade back to somewhere between like 27, 28, 29, somewhere in there, could probably grab, you know, could still grab a receiver, but, you know, get an extra asset to go along with it later in the draft. But it just shows you the depth that's available in this draft because Quiddy Pay went with the next pick. Travis Etienne goes to Jacksonville, 25th overall. Ojulari goes to the Browns at 26 overall. Bateman to the Ravens. Najee Harris, 30th overall. I mean, there are a lot of good players. And then Tampa takes Gregory Rousseau, the edge rusher out of Miami, at 32nd overall. To close out the first round. Real quick, just to give you the rest of the Titans picks, at 53, I went Elijah Molden, the cornerback out of Washington. That obviously fills a big need there, and I think he is.
That's right around that. Fit. Most of the mocks I've seen, he's right around their second-round pick.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Third round, 85th overall, Carlos Basham Jr., edge rusher out of Wake Forest. He's someone that I've seen third. I've even seen some late second with him. But it fills a need there because I still think they need to take an edge rusher at some point in the draft. 100th overall, which is still in the third round, Chaz Surratt, linebacker out of North Carolina. We talked to Dan Shonka about him the other day as being a potential fit. You don't know what's going to happen with the linebackers overall with fifth-year options and one-year deals and all of that. 126, Robert Hainsey, offensive tackle out of Notre Dame to fill that need. You know, don't necessarily have to have a starter, but somebody to develop. That's why I went with him. Now you kind of get into players that I don't know all that much about. I just went position of need. Jalen Darden, another wide receiver out of North Texas. John Bates, the tight end out of Boise State. Stayed in the state, Bryce Thompson, cornerback from Tennessee at 215. And then at 232, Shaka Tony, an edge rusher out of Penn State.
Listen to this
Shaka
quote.
Shaka Tony. I love
Shaka
that
Tony.
Name.
That's a great
it
name.
It reminds me of the Nakatomi Plaza in Die Hard.
In Die Hard, yeah. Or Shaka Khan. Shaka Khan.
It's a cross. That is, it's that a mismatch of all those things.
He is worth drafting just for the name. That's
no
fantastic. I saw this quote today, and maybe I can run this by Mark Dominic. Tell me just your quick first impressions, and then we have to break. Giants general manager Dave Gettleman said today, one, that he's never traded down in any round. He's never traded down in any round. And he told reporters today that he's disgusted in the past and he's had opportunities, but ultimately it didn't work out. And he said, I'm not going to get fleeced on trading down. It's almost like an urban myth. I've tried. Huh?
Hmm? I don't know.
You're
what
not
going to
get fleeced trading down?
How do you get fleeced?
I would think a trading up is the more power play, right? That's where you have to be aggressive. That's where you have a chance of overpaying. Getting fleeced, trading down?
I would like to hear somebody explain that.
I know. I thought that was a very strange comment from a general manager in the league. Like I said, we can ask Mark Dominic to start the third hour. We will on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.